My guest on Simply Folk is Anna Vogelzang. She's a singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist who grew up on the East Coast, but now calls Wisconsin home. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. And your sound is a little different than some of the guests that I've had on Simply Folk, so
yeah.
It makes for a really nice variety.
I hope I'm folky enough.
Oh. Well, you know, we play a lot of singer-songwriters,
yeah.
And you are certainly a unique singer-songwriter.
Thank you.
And before we get started with that, I want to ask you about your name.
Yeah.
And does that have anything to do with the trajectory that you're on? What's the translation of your name?
My last name means birdsong in Dutch. And I have always sang. I have always been a singer. And so I'm sure it was in there somewhere. My mom and dad both sing. My mom is an opera singer, and so when she and my dad got married, took my dad's name, and has always said, you know, there's no better name to walk into an audition with than Vogelsang if you walk in. And I did a little bit of opera in school and had that same exact experience, having to walk into auditions and basically the whole table saying, well, are you going to sing like a bird now? So, yeah, it's funny because it's kind of a divide. It's either folks don't know how to pronounce it and will just kind of stumble and ask me to say it, or someone will come up to me at a show and say, oh, is that your real name? Or is that your stage name? Did you decide that name because you're a singer? You know, so, but I always think that's so funny when people ask if I have chosen this as a stage name, because it's so hard to get around that I think I would try not to put any more obstacles around my name.
Well, I thought it was interesting that your CD, the most recent one, has a bird in the title.
Yeah, yeah. And that wasn't completely intentional. I mean, I found that in that record, in writing it, there was a bird in every song showing up, be it just the mention of a bird or, you know, the song Canary is built around that image. The record is called Canary in a Coal Mine, and the song Canary is built around that image of the canary going into the coal mine to kind of test the air. And so, and I just loved that image and kind of the metaphor. And so when I was looking through to kind of figure out a title for the record, I started to realize how many birds were showing up.
And, yeah, there's hummingbirds,
yeah,
and all
there's
kinds.
All these different birds in there. So, and it wasn't completely intentional, but it does kind of tie the record together, which is nice.
It certainly does. Well, why don't we start with a song first?
Great.
What would you like to start with?
I'm going
to
start with a newer song called Amarillo. This is a song that I wrote about a year ago, and I was driving from... I was driving from Denton, Texas to Amarillo, Texas, and was on the highway and drove past the largest, still to this day, field of wildflowers I have ever seen that were bright yellow and just amazingly beautiful. And so I did what any folk singer would do and drove myself into the middle of the field of wildflowers and played this new song I had written, which was yet to be untitled. And so when I told that story when I got to the venue, everyone said, you got to call that song Amarillo. So this is kind of after my friends in that town and whatnot. In your new life, I hope you promise to be kind, a little softer, less designed, all empathy and grace. In your new life, I hope each old choice can change, each bar and scar and circus train, every shadow to get shed. 'Cause in my new life, I will wake up happy. Return phone calls. our new life. I hope you promise to take risks. Drop the bottle, take a trip. Break out from your blue in your new life. I hope solitude comes easy. But if you choose to speak to someone, I hope your words are understood. 'Cause in my new life, I will wake up sober.
The name of the song is Amarillo, and we heard it played by Anna Vogelzang and her ukulele. And I saw this video. You've posted a video of yourself in this field of yellow flowers, and boy, it just is vast. It goes forever.
Yeah, it was amazing. I actually drove past it, and it was so amazing that I had to turn around. I turned off of the highway and then got back going the other direction just so I could try to go see it again. And there happened to just be this service road that went right into the middle of it off of the highway. It was so amazing. And it was my first time touring or driving through Texas. So it was a very Texas moment for me, kind of these giant, vast fields and just amazing, amazing highways.
Heading to Amarillo, which the word means yellow.
Exactly. So between that and then the image of the raincoat at the end, and it just all kind of seemed to fit together. So.
Yeah, neat. There's a certain spareness to your songs with just your voice and your instrument, whichever instrument it is that you choose. But there's also a certain power to them. I mean, your voice, you mentioned studying voice, and I think you studied opera, right?
Yeah, yes.
So you get a little bit of that power coupled with the intimacy, and it's really a kind of a neat juxtaposition.
Thank you. It's always actually something I struggle with, so I appreciate you saying that so much, because most of my albums are full band, and so they have full instrumentation and drums and string sections and all of these things, so that when I start to tour them, I often struggle with that of, am I representing the songs as best I can, and am I representing the album as best I can? And that's something I've already started to try to think about with making my new record that's going to happen sometime. A friend of mine actually just recently said, you always serve the songs first. So, that's what I try to do is if I'm playing solo by myself, then trying to create that space of intimacy but fullness in the songs, and so that people can feel like they can connect to them on a very personal level. But also, you know, if making a record with a full band means that folks want to pop it into their CD player when they're driving or something like that, then, just kind of trying to create both realities, I guess.
Well, the songs lend themselves to both interpretations, but there is a certain intimacy to the lyrics. I mean, you really provide, they're very vulnerable. They seem so honest, and they're almost excruciating sometimes to hear. You know, you talk about subjects like alcohol and relationships, a lot about relationships in various parts, and being bruised like a peach. I mean, oh, just these lyrics are, how do you write? Where does this come from?
Thanks. A lot of different places. So a lot of it seems very confessional, and some of it is, but a lot of it also is totally stealing from the lives of the people around me. Because I've
like any good writer.
I've gotten to a point where, you know, there are certain things that I don't want to write about anymore. And also I think I've, you know, calmed down a little bit. And so it's easier to sometimes steal from other people's stories. But so it comes from there. And a lot of it, you know, is the way that I, writing is the way that I can kind of suss out what I'm feeling and dealing with. And so Canary, the record, actually touches a lot on family issues, even though it doesn't necessarily sound that way. There's a lot of, and that's actually my intention, is I like to try to create songs that have that intimate feeling and are something that someone can say, oh, this is like the relationship I have with my sister or my husband or my best friend. You know, I want those relationship songs to be accessible in multiple facets, multiple relationships. And so a lot of it is about kind of what's happening with me, but then I also try to touch on what that could mean for other people. And so this next album is still untitled, but a lot of it, again, is a family album for me, is things, you know, familial relationships with parents and with siblings, and also then marriage and friendships and all of these kind of personal dynamics that we have with others that really shape our worlds every day. So a lot of that is a lot of the new album especially is about that for me. But I tend to write, the Canary was finished at a lake house up in Green Lake, Wisconsin. And the newer album was pretty much all written at that same lake house. So sometimes I just need to get away and sit back and kind of see what I'm dealing with and make myself write as an exercise, as well as a catharsis too.
Why don't we hear another song? What would you like to do next?
Great. I'm going to do Undertow, which
and
is
that's from Canary.
That's
right?
The first song on Canary, and it's one of those songs actually that I wrote at the lake house, looking out at the water, that just kind of came to me and was not something I was trying to write or trying to finish. It just kind of happened, and I like to say it shows that this is probably my one truest love song. Inside the landmine, inside my heart, you slide the safety, shoulder the charge, so I can breathe. I disarm wildly, you fire sweet, beastly, these outbursts of almighty heat that light the stars. And summertime. And hell or high water. make a promise, I'll make a vow. Each cup of coffee, each eyelash down an offering. This house will crumble, this dock will cave. Weak from the pressure, but dauntless will brave the undertow. And ooh, 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 ooh. And ooh, 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 ooh. And you, come hell or high water.
Undertow, that's Anna Vogelzang. And another one that just has such achingly close intimacy. And, you know, it was interesting that you choose the thumb piano because it kind of mirrors the purity of the voice and the sense of the song. Tell me about that instrument and how...
Well, that particular one came from the Old Town School in Chicago.
Wow, the Old Town School of Folk. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think I picked it up for just to have as another recording fun thing to mess around with, and had it with me at the lake house and was doing demos, and was actually not in, I kind of split my time when I'm on these self-imposed retreats between writing and recording. And so I was in recording mode, but I had, I think I read a poem, I read a lot too when I'm gone, and read a poem with the word landmine in it, it just was one of those moments that just kind of struck me, and I picked up the kalimba because it was right there. And as soon as I started to kind of mess around with it, because I hadn't really played it for us in terms of composition, I'd used it as a background instrument. And so I started messing around, and then I could hear what I wanted it to do. So I actually retuned the teeth on the right-hand side to fit this chord that I wanted. And then that song just became that song. And that's the only song I play it for. And I have a couple other new songs that are on different thumb pianos. So now I have three. but yeah, there's something about that song and that moment for me in writing it, and the sentiment, which is really such a commitment. It's such a song about commitment and love, that just fit really well together. The sentiment and the lyrics and the tone of the instrument all just kind of happened. And so that's just one of those confluence moments where you're you feel like, okay, well, maybe if I can get one of those a year, I'd be really excited. So
neat. Well, from the intimacy and the solitude of writing to touring.
Yeah.
You just came back from 6 weeks on the road. How many gigs, and do you book all these yourselves?
I do book all these myself. If anybody wants to be my booking agent, I'm taking phone calls. I actually did 23 shows, I think. It might have been 28. I don't remember. I wrote it on my Twitter account. I think it was either 23 or 28. And because there were about 2 weeks in there where I was only playing every few days. But the first week was a week of shows down to Texas, and then I did the South by Southwest conference. And so I did a show every day of South by Southwest. So one show, you know, Sunday through Sunday, one show a day. And then drove myself to the East Coast from Austin, which was quite a haul. And then went to another conference, and then did some shows in New England and played at a wedding. And then drove back through doing about a 10-day tour on the way home. So it was this long tour process, but it was also... there were definitely down moments in it. But yeah, it's something that I have been doing kind of nonstop since I started writing, touring, because it was always the way that I saw other people do it. And it seemed like, well, this is the thing that you do. And so it's been a really interesting part of my life and a really interesting part of this job. And it's extremely rewarding and extremely fun and extremely exhausting. So it's hard to kind of find a balance, an easy balance, something I'm working on constantly.
It can be grueling, I know. Do you do house concerts? I seem to hear about more and more house concerts.
I mean, I adore house shows. I think that, you know, there is a space for people like myself who are at a level where I'm making a living, but it's a very, you know, mm-hmm. it's a very modest living. And house shows almost always have this magic to them because everyone is there just for the show. People are donating directly to you, so there's no cut from the club, so you're making more money automatically. And there is almost always a, you know, like a gathering beforehand, a potluck or something. And so you get to talk to people in the community. And so much of my shows, too, are chatting that it just really lends itself to the house show crowd. It becomes a discussion rather than just a performance, and it's really fun. And I had amazing house shows on this tour. I mean, just blew me away. So I'm trying, it's easy to kind of get also into this house show loop where you only do house shows. So I'm trying really hard to not only do that, to mix them up, but
to have the balance.
Yeah.
Well, it does enable the audience to make that emotional connection a little more easily when mm-hmm. it's in an intimate setting like that.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we have another song? You've been working since your last CD. You've got some new ones.
Yeah, I do. The new CD is written. I just have to figure out how it's going to get made, but this is one off of that. This is actually a touring song.
And you've picked up your banjo. We've heard from the ukulele and the thumb piano, now the banjo.
And
what's the name?
It basically changes, this banjo changes tuning every time you put it down. this song's called Lion. How did I become so much like a lion? Were not sweet like pollen when you first came. Why would you leave me here like a tyrant? And how did I forget how to pray? Say it ain't so. Oh, why do you beg the stone for the water? Once it breaks for water, won't you beg for wine? Did you or did you not find me human? And which one of us gets to lead the blind? Oh, how you howled the day that the rains came. Grain of sugar, grain of sand. Will the weight of your head and your hands subside?
this or isn't that what you wanted? Can't you see all the diamonds behind the desert sky? Baby, try. Baby, try.
Lion, Anna Vogelzang and her banjo. Boy, neat song.
Thanks.
And lyrics, as always with your lyrics, are so poetic with sounds that make their own music aside from the music. Do you write poetry as well as music?
I have in the past. And when I was in school, that was kind of my two things were opera and poetry. And so I got to do recording when I was in undergrad too. So I often call it the singer-songwriter major. I got to kind of create this major for myself, which was amazing. But yeah, I actually saw one of my poetry mentors, I think last year or 2 years ago in Pittsburgh. And he said, "Are you writing?" And I said, "No, but I'm writing songs." And he said, "Well, that totally counts." But I haven't written formal poetry probably in, 8 years or something. So it's been a while.
Coming out through your lyrics.
Yeah,
certainly.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, you come from a family that has some connections to public radio.
Yeah. My uncle Mark Vogelzang, he's at Maine Public Broadcasting now, but was always in Vermont when I was growing up, most of when I was growing up at VPR. And so would always go kind of visit them up in Jericho and get to hang out. I had a lot of really great family connections to Vermont. I love Vermont, actually hoping to get back there in June when I'm on tour.
Yeah, and they have a great public radio system,
absolutely,
too. And speaking of public media, you are on 30 Minute Music Hour, part of our Wisconsin Public Television offerings, and that is now available online, I believe.
Yeah,
your
I'm
session.
Not sure when it's airing on TV, but we just recorded it earlier this year and right before I left for tour, and now it's up online, so.
Yeah, it was a nice session. Thanks. And I think your husband plays with you
on that,
right?
Yeah, that was my husband Andrew playing upright bass on that set. And my friend Patrick Reinholtz playing the cello. He lives in Milwaukee now. So to get the three of us back together is always tricky. Mm-hmm. But we had a great time. And Corey Hart also, who plays around town, came in and sang on that session as well. So it was a really great time.
Yeah, he's got a nice voice. Yeah. I imagine that's a nice contrast with the two of you.
Yeah, he sang on Undertow, actually. He did the ooze on Undertow with me, which was really fun and beautiful. So
yeah,
he's great.
Good. So you have a couple of gigs coming up, May and then August.
Yeah, so I only have two shows this summer, trying to kind of...
In our area anyway, right?
Yes, of course. I'm touring in June, but in Madison and the area, I'm going to be doing a show on May 29th at the Overture Center, which I am thrilled about. It's one of the after work, Overture After Work series. It's on a Thursday, and it's from 5 to 7 and free and just kind of open. So I'm really excited about that.
Great. And then you're going to be out in Spring Green, I think,
in
August?
Spring Green at the Barn.
That barn that I can't say
out loud. Yes, exactly. At the Barn Sessions. And do you have the date? Because
I do. It's August 13th.
Great. Okay. I know it's a Wednesday because it's the Barn. And and I'm opening for Tony Furtado on that show.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Banjo time. Yeah.
That'll be great. Well, why don't we close with...
Great.
Die Trying, I think that's from Canary, right?
It is.
I said I keep you around to keep me honest, around to keep me clean, shining fluorescent. You said as long as you feel okay, as long as you're getting out of bed each day, as long as you're doing your best. But what if this is not my best? What if this is not my best? Whoa, oh, oh. I said you hold this isthmus in your hands. The only place I can land. I am a prop airplane. You said as long as you're showing up on time, as long as they believe that you're really smiling, as long as you're doing your best. But what if this is not my best? What if this is not my... What if I could do better? Your voice, I said I wanted just to feel you up against me. See, baby, I've forgotten. You said the birds have been building nests around our porch, and in the mornings they keep me up. Good God, I wish you were here. Starts to spin, and it's all I can do to keep it inside. And we lie on our backs in the roof. The roof starts to spin, and it's all I can do not to start crying. I said it must be my foreign blood. I mean, I'm Dutch. I think that they are known for bad behavior. And I just get so low. You said as long as your eyes are wide. You said as long as your throat is open. As long as you're doing your best. But what if this is not my best? What if this is not my best? I'm gonna die trying. Oh, 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 what if this is not my best? What if this is not my best? Well, I'm gonna die trying.
Anna Vogelzang with Die Trying from her CD, Canary in a Coal Mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing such powerful, cool music.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you are pretty wired in terms of social media.
Yes.
So I could say you've got a great website. It's called theanna.com.
Exactly. Yeah.
With two N's.
Two N's, just to avoid the last name. You don't have to know how to spell it. You can still find me.
And then you're also on Facebook and Twitter and Bandcamp.
Yes.
And Instagram.
Yes.
And
everything. All of the internet. Anywhere you look, I'll be there. Just try to find me.
And if you're in South Central Wisconsin on May 29th, you can find Anna at the Overture Center in Madison between 5 and 7 for Mad City Sessions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stephanie.